Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody out there in listener land. I'm Coach Penn, and you're on Third and Long with Coach Penn. This week, I have a very interesting show for you. As promised last week, I will release the top 15 teams in college football. That's based my rankings for what I've seen after the first 4 weeks of football. Most people have played at least three games. And while the competition has been slight and far and few between, I have built my top 15, and each week I'll give you an update of what and how I rank the teams. I did an interview with Kez today. She's the CEO for the IWFL. There's some new news out there from them, and then there's also the NWFA has some news. I will briefly go over some highlights from the NFL and then go over a couple of announcements that I have from some people out there, okay? So let's go ahead and get started with the show. And, of course, this is a women's football show, so we're going to start off with the women's football news first. Let me see. Where should I start off first? For those of you listening, don't forget you can hop in the chat room, the little green box to the right-hand side when you log on to the site and listen, is there's a chat available. You can click in there, hop in, throw any questions you might want to, you know, have heard or, you know, want to hop online as a guest. You just shoot in there, chat available, and if you feel like you want to call in, the number is 347-826-7278. I know a lot of people download this and listen at a later time, so if you feel the urge, you can always email me. I have a very simple email. It's headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. I check that on a daily basis. So if you ever want to email me some ideas or have some opinions you want to throw my way, go ahead and email them to me. I will be quick to respond. So let's get my announcements out of the way. Those of you who listen to the show on the 10th know that Coach Duncan is having a women's football camp here in L.A. What is it, October 11th and 12th? So check out LAAmazons.com to find out more about that. Then the Clarksville Fox are having team sign-ups this Saturday at Northwest High School in Clarksville, Tennessee. For those of you who are interested and listen in the area, check out the ClarksvilleFox.com. There's all kinds of emails and phone numbers you can call. They're actually going to have a special guest appearance. This is just team signups. The Clarksville City Councilwoman, Deanna McLaughlin, will be a guest speaker at signups, so that's pretty cool. So anybody interested in playing football or just finding out more information about being a member of the team in any capacity, check out the ClarksvilleFox.com, and you might be able to get some things going there. Don't forget about the camp and conference going on. The Showgirls are hosting. That is in November. Haven't really seen anything more updated about that. So I'm sure you can check in with them, Las Vegas Showgirls. It's lvshowgirls.com, and it's Showgirls with a Z. So if you want to find out some more things there, you can contact Dion Lee about that. My team, the California Quake, we actually have flag football tournament coming on. So everybody that listens in Southern California, and it's not really exclusive to those in Southern California, we have a 5-on-5 co-ed flag football tournament going on. It's supposed to be on October the 5th. We may delay it if we have problems getting enough teams, but it should be pretty easy. We're looking for 16 teams, up to 12 persons on a team. If you do have a total of 12, at least 4 must be females. The way it's going to work, and I wanted to break it down this show so everybody could get an idea of what it's going to be, 5-on-5 passing only. So you can't run the ball, per se, handoffs. Everything has to be passing past the line of scrimmage. So the big thing is everybody is eligible. So the center who snaps the ball, and they can snap the ball standing up, throws the ball back to the quarterback, and then everybody can go out and route. Defensively, you can blitz as many people as you want, and the quarterback has 6 seconds to throw the ball. One of the referees will count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And at 5, you have to throw the ball. If the ball is not thrown on 6, it's a sack. And that's flag football, so obviously everything's flag. You're allowed to spin, and you're allowed one lateral per play. One of the tricky rules is you're not allowed to go 3 on one side. You always have to have at least one receiver on each side of the center. Trick plays are allowed as long as the first pass, the pass that moves the ball downfield has to be past the line of scrimmage. Everybody blitzing on defense has to be 5 yards behind or 5 yards from the snap of the ball. And anybody that's looking to find out some of the detailed rules and specifics of the game, just check on our website, CaliforniaQuakeFootball.com. Any of the teams out there who are looking to set up this on their own, feel free to call me or email me. I can give you, this is a league that I have played in for several years, and I just adjusted it a little bit so the fields are a little bit bigger. We use one full football field, and you can create 4 fields on it, so 4 games are going at a time. It's basically about 55 yards, maybe a little bit less total. There are only a couple penalties. You're not allowed to jump into the end zone or for first downs. Offsides is obviously, offsides and false start are obviously a penalty, and then holding. The rest of them are unsportsmanlike, which is if you tackle somebody, if you are basically bull rushing, you're not allowed to hit the quarterback's arm and any trash talking because we try and keep it a fun, lighthearted affair. Those are 15-yard penalties or automatic first downs. So, it depends because you only get, 2 first downs the entire – no, it's actually just 1 because you get, 4 plays, you get a first down, and then it's first and goal basically. So some of the rules and some of the things like that, a lot of people were wondering about how we're going to run that. We have 16 teams, so everybody's going to be guaranteed 4 games. It'll be 3 placement games, and from there we'll seed everybody based on record, points allowed, and then points scored. So that should be fun. And after those 3 games, everybody's going to play a single elimination tournament with 16 teams. So that's pretty cool. The tournaments that I've been, you really only guarantee 3 games. And it's usually over a 2-day thing, but those usually have, so many levels of competition. We wanted to make sure that females were allowed to play too and basically made it mandatory so that we can have everybody get some experience. So if you have some teams out there, I know the Breakers are close, Vegas is pretty close, Amazons are pretty close. Feel free. If you don't have to have guys in your team, you can bring all women if you want. If you really want to work on your quarterback and your receivers running routes, it's still a goal. It's just going to be fun, and it's $240 per team if you have 12, but if you register online, you save $40. So it's only $200 for a whole team, and then $800 for the winning team and $400 for second place. That's pretty good. That's a good way to make some money right there. So let's see what else I have out here. That's basically what we have. Now, the big announcement that I have is going to be last. So right now, I will go on to the NWFA website, and they have a new team, the New Jersey Justice. So there's no website or anything like that, but they announced them earlier. I think it was last week. They announced them after my show, so I wasn't able to do that. So that adds a Keystone Assault, and then now the New Jersey Justice. So hopefully they'll have a website up and running soon, and you'll see what they're about. Anybody looking to join the team in New Jersey, make sure you hop on to womensfootballcentral.com and get the contact information from there. That's another new team, so welcome to Women's Football. Then we have the IWFL is selling footballs. I mentioned that last week. They have a huge supply of footballs in stock, so if you're looking to teams out there that are listening, get your stock now, especially the new teams like Houston. I know Dallas and Vegas had a hard time getting their balls last year, and they weren't able to basically practice. So order them now. They have, a ton in stock. And get them in there so you can start working in the offseason, getting used to them because they're different than the ones you used to use. So that's big. I spent today talking with, Kez, Bride Who Fell to get some information on her. I know that last show, some people were asking about the championship DVD, so I had to get in touch with her to see what's going on with that. She said that right now, the DVD has been, it's been prepped. It's gone through one draft at least right now. It has all the graphics, and it's mixed with the sound, but they messed up on some graphics, so they're not done yet, but it is coming out very shortly. And the sound from, I was there, and I was actually one of the sideline reporters. I'm not sure if I'm actually on it. That'll be funny if I am. I didn't even ask that. I didn't even think about it. Gosh, can you believe that? But I know the two guys that announced where they were, which are homers, they were, you know, local announcers that were, they did all the Chicago Force games. So they were a little bit excited, and they left the windows open to kind of get the crowd atmosphere. Unfortunately, the crowd was all of inches away, so the background noise was very loud. So I'm sure a lot of work's being put done to make sure the sound is right and everything looks very professional. So everybody out there waiting for that DVD, please be patient. It is coming out very shortly. I brought up another issue about the IWFO website. The fact that they had those little voting things for which region they wanted to zone and now which team. So I asked her about that. She said that they're doing that because next year they're really going to look to not so much push for teams, but they want to make sure that they get teams in certain areas so that they can make this league not just last, but prosper, because it's easier for teams to travel. You know, San Antonio would be a great team to meet. Denver helps the Midwest region. And, you know, there's just a lot of cities. Most of them are Midwest to West because we have a lot of good teams out here, but, you know, there's no in-between. You know, you're either West or you're East, and there's nothing in the middle and in-between. So the three or four teams that are stuck there have to travel so far. So they're looking to basically track where these votes come from and know that where the interest is, and then hopefully, you know, approach the areas about people starting teams in those areas. And that'll be great because hopefully, you know, if next year there is, you know, teams in Denver, Reno, maybe even San Antonio, that really secures the western part of the schedule and limits travel a little bit. That brings up the deadline for new teams. The NWFA deadline for new teams is Monday. I think it's Monday. When is the 30th? Tuesday. The 30th of Tuesday is the last day for NWFA to get applications for teams. I'm not sure if that means that's the last day they can join or whatever, but the IWFL, they don't have a specific date or cutoff. But they said they are winding it down because when they have their group meetings in, end of October, they want to have the schedule ready. So any teams that are looking to join, I know there's at least one team, probably two or three, still trying to join. And here's a message from people. Those of you who are trying to join the IWFL, get your paperwork signed. Turn it in. That's all you really need to do. Get your paperwork signed, turn it in, so then you're a member. The longer you delay, the less chance you have of being a 2009 season member. So that is fun. The really interesting thing that I got today, I got an email about the IWFL All-Star Weekend. Now, everybody knows there's a conflict of interest with, you know, the IWFL and Coach Lee's camp. Well, they're both on the same weekend, and they're two different things. One's growing the football in general, and the other one's a specific designed event for the IWFL All-Stars so that everybody can meet players and coaches from around the league. And it's not for rookies, veterans, or whatever. It's for everybody. Here are some of the things that I found out via the email I received. The dates are November 7th and November 8th. What's going to happen on November 7th, it's a Friday, there is a coaches meeting. They're listing it as the first annual IWFL coaches meeting, and it's going to be in Round Rock, Texas, which is near the Austin airport. The purpose of the meeting is designed to give coaches an opportunity to participate in crafting official IWFL training programs to further the on-field performance level of women's tackle football nationwide. There's a specific agenda that will be released, and hopefully when I get it, I'll be told I can make it available. Coaches have to RSVP to this thing, and there's a survey and everything like that, and you have to do it online. So as I've already said, I already have plans. I will be in Florida for the Florida State, Clemson game, so I won't be attending either one of the events going on that weekend. And I really hate it because I wanted to be at one of them. Then on the 8th, there is the IWFL All-Stars Bash. And this is going to consist of many different things, and they don't have the specifics out, but they wanted to make sure that people knew what was going on, because a lot of talk has been said about, are they going to have an all-star game? I mean, that's, you know, 5 months after the season ended. I mean, who's still in shape for that? They're not having a game, and I think they're smart enough to realize that would be a bad idea. Athletes will participate in some special activities and an all-star game, which is 11-on-11 flag. So it will be fun. And it's funny, for people that I talk to who have played flag and regular football, they think flag is more physical. So we'll see on that one. Fans will be treated to great football in a fun and friendly environment. This event is held to honor IWFL athletes and give everyone the chance to meet, have a great time, and support women's football. That's basically what I was given. For those of you who don't know, I'm pretty sure there's going to be something on the IWFL website soon, IWFLsports.com. The event location is going to be Old Settlers Park, and that's the football fields, Round Rock, Texas. So I'm not really sure where that is, but the host hotel is Springhair Suites, and it's a Marriott. Looks like they have a deal with the Marriott, because remember the championship game was also a Marriott. Just unfortunately, there was 18 Marriotts in Chicago around the airport, so that was very confusing. I had to hit 3 of them before I got the right one. I guess I should have looked at the specifics since I didn't know. Let me see. If you reference the All-Star Weekend when you call, you get a special price, and breakfast buffet is included. So let's see. What else is going on? That's basically all I have for the women's football. Let's see if anything's happening in the chat room. Let's see. Nothing going on yet. So anybody listening, make sure you hop in the chat available if you want to get something said. If not, feel free to listen. That's all I have for women's football today. Not much is going on. You know, off season, everybody's working hard to get their teams ready financially and physically for the upcoming season. It's very expensive. So good luck with all that. I know that I have 3 rookies coming over on Friday to get trained in weights and some basic drills. So that will be fun. Let's see. Where else do we got? Let's go with the NFL. I'm going to jump on over to the NFL now because I watch the NFL for fantasy football. It's not a big thing for me, and I have a bunch to say when it comes to college football, so I'll save that for last. I want to thank the people that called in last week. That was really nice, and all the people participating, listening online. Let's go with the NFL. The NFL has the first week of byes coming up, so everybody with their fantasy football, make sure you adjust your rosters because there's a lot of people not playing. I don't even have a list of byes with me, but let's go on for my first game. First game is not really so much of a big one, but kind of a surprise one. Minnesota at Tennessee. Tennessee is undefeated, and they've won the last 2 games without Vince Young, so that's pretty cool. But right now, they're only favored by 1 over Minnesota, and Minnesota just replaced their starting quarterback, and they picked up the first win with Gus Frerotta at QB. So for Tavares Jackson, I'm not sure if that's it for him in football, but probably pretty close. If you get replaced by Gus Frerotte when he's been playing for 16, 17 years, I think that's pretty much the end of your career. So sorry about that, but I think it'll be a very intriguing game because Minnesota's got to travel to Tennessee, and Tennessee hasn't been, you know, killing anybody. They've just been winning, and that's all it really means in the NFL is just win games. Another intriguing game is Arizona has to travel to the Jets. Now, the line on this one's even, but Arizona's 2-1, and the Jets are 1-2. The similar opponent they both have is Miami. Jets barely beat Miami, even though they pretty much controlled the game, and Arizona just killed Miami. So, and Arizona's trying to prove that they belong in the upper echelon of teams in the, you know, the top half of the league. And in doing so, they have to travel to the Jets and beat the Jets at home. The Jets haven't won a home game yet, so good luck there. They're 0-1 at home. But Arizona doesn't travel very well, and they are probably the most talented team on offense that I can think of. I mean, they don't have a great quarterback. Kurt Warner was never a great quarterback to me. He was just surrounded by superb athletes, and he's surrounded by Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald right now, and they're just amazing. And then they have Leonard Pope as their tight end, who's just a huge target. And Edgerton and James is doing pretty good. And I'm not sure if they still have J.J. Arrington, but that's a pretty good team right there. So let's just watch and see how they do there. I don't think Arizona really can win this game. And besides the fact, New York Jets have Brett Favre, who I think he'll be looking to get his first home victory in front of the New York fans. He did twist his ankle or rolled his ankle in the last game, but he should be fine. His streak should stay intact. An interesting game, very interesting game, is Cleveland at Cincinnati, the battle of the people that can't win. So let's see who pulls out that victory. It's in Cincinnati, and last year, the first time they played, nobody played defense. There was just a scoring frenzy, and I guess somebody has to walk away with a victory, even though in the NFL they have this stupid thing where they can tie because they go in sudden death overtime and they only play it once. These people get paid millions and millions of dollars, and we pay so much money and have to deal with so many commercials. That should be a winner every game. I'm sorry. They should play until somebody wins. It's that simple. But I just think it's interesting that both of these teams are 0-3 and playing horrible, and one of them is going to be able to walk away with a victory. So that's intriguing. Good luck to you Browns and Bengals fans. The next game I have is the surprising Bills. Bills are going to St. Louis, and St. Louis is just horrible. Mark Bolger was benched this week. And I really don't think you can blame Bolger. I mean, their offense is just horrible. The receivers are old, and their offensive line just doesn't know what they're doing. And I don't even know if Steven Jackson's back, but, I mean, it's just a bad offensive team. The defenses are playing much better. Buffalo, on the other hand, just keeps winning. I mean, they're going to be 4-0 after this game, and that's pretty impressive. But it is the NFL, and on any weekend, anything can happen. So let's see what else is on. The big game this week, I think, is the Skins at Dallas. Skins have been doing pretty good. They're 2-1. They look a little bit better, but then Dallas has they beat Philly and they beat Green Bay, two very good teams. So, I mean, Dallas is for real. But let's see if they can continue winning. And this is a big rivalry, Washington and Dallas, NFC East. It's a huge game, and it's always fun to watch. And this is the 4:00 game on Friday or so on Sunday, which means it's 1:00 on the East Coast or West Coast, and it's on Fox, so I hope it's on TV because I really want to watch this game. If not, I'll have to go over to my friend Harold's house and watch it on his DirecTV Sunday ticket thing. There you go. So that's all I got about the NFL. Last week was pretty cool. I really want to work the Dolphins ran the single wing, and for those of you unfamiliar with the single wing, it's something that was ran beginning to the very, very beginning of football. Single wing was pretty cool, and it lasted for a while, and then they created the double wing, and then football just evolved off of it, and the single wing went away. And the Dolphins really killed the Patriots running the single wing with Ronnie Brown. So that will be quite intriguing to see how much they use that. They're off this week, I know that, but I'm working on something for a next show where we compare the old offenses versus the new offenses, because BG actually sent me a video of Wiener College, and they actually ran the old double tight end power I, and it was basically the triple option, and it it was just funny to watch the people on, you know, this was black and white footage from a reel. But it was pretty cool to watch it and to see that some teams are still running that today. It's kind of funny that some people haven't progressed into the new thing. And I'm not saying one offense is better than the other. It's all about personnel. But I really want to get a couple coaches on here that run, you know, I want to get some people that actually have run both the wing, the single wing, the double wing, the triple option, and then I want to get some spread coaches on here to kind of just dissect the offenses and what they take advantage of, because I think that's something that coaches around the league can use, because a lot of the teams in women's football run the football primarily. They don't even look to pass. They pass when the game's out of hand and they just want to try and score. So I just think it's funny. If I get enough coaches, BJ, I really want to make it a longer show, but I'm got to make sure that I can get the right coaches on, because there's certain coaches that I'm trying to contact right now for that. So let's delve into college football. College football, for those of you who are weekly listeners, is my love. I love it. It's just great. It's the best thing out there. The best thing since bread, sliced bread. Woohoo! So college football is huge with me. And before I go into my top 15, and that'll take a while because I have my reasons and everything like that and their records. So I'll go over that last. Right now I want to go over the games that are happening this week. And I will always refer to the rankings that ESPN puts out there. I won't refer to the rankings that I create. That would just be too big of me. So we'll start with Thursday's night game, and that's USC at Oregon State. The last time that USC went to Oregon State, they lost. So I'm just amazed that people are just brushing this off. Because last time everybody talked about USC being the greatest team ever, they ended up losing. And it was so funny because ESPN did this whole thing comparing with the best teams across centuries. And it's just funny because they compared them against all these great teams, and then as soon as they got to the championship game, they got beat by Vince Young. They didn't even get beat by Texas. They got beat by Vince Young. One person beat them. And it's funny because the spread option, the read option, whatever you want to call it, basically has four plays. So it's just it's just funny because I actually talked to the USC coaching staff before that Texas game. I was like, you guys are going to have fun. That guy is really good. And they're like, oh, they only run four plays. We'll be fine. And I just sat there and laughed the entire time. So I think it's cool. Both teams haven't played in 2 weeks, so the team that shakes off the rust first will probably look and have the best chance to win. USC has the talent pool over there is like the Pacific Ocean. It's so deep. I mean, they're just going to be fine. I think Oregon State, if they can keep with them for the first half, it might be a fun game to watch, but it should be over by the second quarter probably. Let's see. The next game I have on tap is Ohio State, Minnesota. Now, for me, Ohio State is the most overrated team in the country. They haven't played a single person. Besides the fact that the people they have played, they haven't beat convincingly, and then they got just utterly killed by USC. So to me, they shouldn't even be ranked. I hate the fact that preseason polls come out so soon, because you don't know who anybody is until some of this stuff happens. Some of these games take place. So, I mean, everybody thought Minnesota was going to be a joke, but Minnesota's 4-0. So this is a wake-up game for Ohio State. Tyrell Pryor, the phenom, is he started last week, and I think Todd Beckman's done. He lost his position to Tyrell, and unless Tyrell has just a horrible game, I don't think Todd's going to see much time except for cleanup time this year. So it'll be interesting to see if Minnesota can prove themselves that they're worthy of that 4-0 record, and if Ohio State can wake up and say, listen, we fell asleep the first half of the season. We're going to make a statement to be a good team and get our way back into the top 10. Don't see it happening, but good luck there, guys. Then we have a battle of the ACC 3-1s, 20 Clemson versus Maryland State. Which ACC team is going to win out? These two teams are Jekyll and Hyde. It's so funny because, you know, Clemson had a horrible showing against Alabama in the last 3 weeks against nobody's. They've been great. And Maryland, they lost to some nobody, and they beat Cal. So it's just funny to me that teams are so inconsistent from week to week, and I guess that has a lot to do with coaching and not so much motivating, because you can't motivate the unmotivated. It's just checks and balances within your team. You've got to make sure that week in and week out, no matter who the opponent, they play the same game. So the next game I have is going to be, I don't know. I have three big marquee matchup games. We got Oklahoma and TCU, two ranked teams. Then we have Penn State and Illinois, two ranked teams, and Georgia and Alabama, two ranked teams. I will save Georgia and Alabama to last because that's just an amazing game. Let's see, 12 and 22. Penn State and Illinois. We'll talk about that one first. So let's see. We have Penn State 4-0. Haven't really played anybody, but they've dominated. They have a 43-point margin of victory per game, and it's the tops of the nation. So that is pretty cool right there. Illinois lost a heartbreaker to Missouri the first week of the season, but I give them kudos because they played somebody, and it was a great game. So I am not sure who's going to win this game. I think Penn State's really good, or they have the potential to be really good, but they have 5 fumbles last week and an interception. If they have 3 fumbles this week against Illinois, they will lose. Now, I don't think I'll be picking any upsets this week, since the last 2 I've gotten wrong. Even though Air Force played really good against Utah, their defense wasn't strong enough to stop Utah. So they ended up losing by a touchdown. Covered the spread, so I won my little thing on the side, but that didn't cover my upset of the week. So Penn State and Illinois should be a good game. Everybody's on ABC. It's in your area. Check it out. It should be a very good offensive game. Next, we'll go to Oklahoma and TCU. This game should be an offensive explosion. Now, here's the thing about that. Both offenses are great against nobody. So we will see which team has the better defense, I guess. We have Oklahoma 3-0 and TCU 4-0. Both margins of victory are over 35, and TCU has won its last 2 games in Norman. So that's pretty exciting right there. I'm pretty excited about that game. I really don't think TCU has a chance because I think Oklahoma is one of the best teams in the country right now, at least playing the best football in all aspects. But you never know. On any given Saturday, you never know. It's a 7 p.m. game in Norman, and it'll be on my TV. The big game of the week, though, is going to be Georgia and Alabama. And it's at Georgia, and Georgia calls for a blackout. I don't know if they're trying to intimidate Alabama, but you really can't intimidate Nick Saban. He is ridiculous. I mean, he's just so funny. Last year, the game went to OT, and Alabama sucked last year. I mean, Florida State beat Alabama last year, and Georgia went to OT with him, so Alabama's a lot better. I don't think they're as good as everybody's putting them out to be, but they've done what they needed to do. They've blown out 4 opponents. Georgia hasn't blown out anybody, but they did beat a tough South Carolina squad in South Carolina, and then they did travel all the way to Arizona and just dominate Arizona State. So, I mean, that was pretty impressive. I'm looking forward to that game. That's the Saturday night game, the 7:45 game on ESPN, so it should be huge. Everybody tune in and watch. There's a lot of good games this weekend, and every week the games are going to get better because everybody's starting their conference schedules right now. So that's always a cool thing because the games are just awesome. I want to welcome Chopper and Pops to the show. They hopped in the chat room and are in there chatting it up already, going crazy with all the stuff. Don't know if you guys have soup plantations out there, but I actually found out that Soup Plantation does fundraising things where you get, let me see, read this right here. Where is it? 15%. You get 15% of everything that's raised with between 5 and 8, so 3 hours. If you can create flyers at Soup Plantation, and they're very big in California because they do vegetables everywhere, and everybody out here doesn't eat meat, which is just wrong, but that's okay. We'll talk about that at a different thing. But you can set up where you set up flyers and say, hey, mention the California quake when you go into there, And woohoo, you can get 15% of everything they sell within that 3-hour period when they mention your team or whatever. So that's pretty cool. So that's something that people can also do. We actually have several set up this year. In the off season, we have lots of little fundraisers like that because it takes no money to actually run that event. You just send a couple players down there, use it as a meet and greet, print up some flyers, pass them out the week prior so that people can get out there and remind them, hey, Soup Plantation's got good food, and if you go on this day between these hours, we get some money on our team. I mean, you could easily raise $500 to $1,000 depending on how well you get that out of there. So now I will jump right into my top 15 teams if nobody out there has anything to say. Got Chopper and Fox, and they both missed my women's football intro. I did plug you, Pop Fox out there. I did plug you. I told everybody about your team meeting this weekend, so don't think I didn't do anything for you. I also put a thing out there for the last, it's getting down to the nitty-gritty for joining the IWFL. Get your paperwork signed, everybody. So, and for those of you who have joined or Pops, you know some teams out there. I know that the Tennessee Valley Tigers and what are some of the other teams? I can't remember them all right now. But the IWFL right now has tons of footballs in stock. Get yours ordered immediately. Have them ready to go. You need two for each game that you play, and then, you know, use them as fundraising. I know that the Pittsburgh Passion use them as fundraising tools. They buy a bunch and then sell them for more money. And I mean, that's free money right there. Just buy 20 balls and say, hey, listen, $25 on the one side. That's $10 profit for each ball, I think. Something like that. I mean, it's not much, but hey, it's something, right? All right, so let's jump right into the NCAA top 15 teams. This is Coach Ken on third and long, and this is what I have come to. After 4 weeks into the season for the NCAA Division I, or FBS as it's called now, which is just ridiculous, there is a lot of good football being played by a lot of good teams, and it was very hard to come up with the top 15. I do not go by what the polls say. I actually do my own research on what is out there and who has been playing who. A lot of people have played cupcakes, and then a couple teams have actually challenged themselves, and now we are rolling into where the cream is going to rise to the top. So, a couple things out there. Chopper was wondering if I saw the Chattanooga Florida State game. Yes, I did. Florida State played really well, and I can't believe Chattanooga scored. Too bad they didn't play really well at the game I was at on Saturday against Wake Forest. Oh, my gosh. This is the first year I bought season tickets, and Florida State couldn't even put up a touchdown. Their offense just played horrible, and it wasn't all of the coach's fault, and it wasn't all of the players' fault. It was a combination of both. Florida State, they just called some stupid plays, and their players made a bunch of stupid penalties, killing drives, and keeping drives alive for Wake Forest. I mean, Sam Swank is great for Wake Forest. He's just one of the best kickers in college football, and it was amazing to see him kick such long field goals because the FSU defense was remarkable. It's just the fact that their offense couldn't do a darn thing. So with that aside, let's put out my top 15 in the NCAA. I'm going to start with 15 and work my way up. And number 15 is going to be the Kansas Jayhawks. They're the only team on my top 15 that has lost a game. They have a bye this week. They're 3-1. They have played basically one worthy opponent, and that was the South Florida team. And they ended up barely losing towards the end of the game when it was a scoring fest towards the end. It was a great game, but they have a rough, rough schedule ahead. And this may be the only time that they are ranked by me all year. They play so many good teams, and if they beat them, they're just going to climb up the polls and probably get another BCS berth. But I don't see that happening this year. I mean, Todd Reesing is very good, but it's just not happening. Number 14, Texas Tech Red Raiders. They have a bye this week as well. They are 4-0, and they have just killed people. But the this is what I gotta say. They have had the easiest schedule of any BCS school so far. They have managed victories, and their defense is getting better. So that's, I mean, Texas Tech, I love their offense. They're just a pass-happy offense. They don't even care about running. So that's just BCS and the crazy coach, the pirate coach over there. Number 13, BYU, the Brigham Young Cougars. They can have a bye. What, everybody play four games and take a bye off? All right. So they're 4-0, though. And since they barely won at Washington when all that controversy was going on, they have played eight straight quarters of zero defense. Their opponents have not scored in eight quarters. And sorry, but they got to keep winning to bust the BCS. They have to keep winning. They lose, they're done. It's one and done when you're a non-BCS school. And I think they're the only ones I have up here that are a non-BCS school. I know that East Carolina had a shot. They lost to NC State this weekend. And Fresno State had a shot, and they lost to Wisconsin. Utah still has a shot, but they're way down there on the list. So they have to hope BYU loses and everybody else in front of them loses, and they keep on winning. I'll get into that later. Number 12, the Florida Gators. They're 3-0, and they play this week against the Mississippi Rebels. Ole Miss is not really that much of a challenge to them, but hey, they a lot of people will be wondering why I have them ranked so low when they're ranked, I think, number 4 or something like that. Let me see where they're ranked. Yeah, they're number 4 in most polls. So, I mean, a lot of people go, why do you have them ranked 12? Well, for one, they haven't played anybody. And they haven't really been that impressive. They don't have a running game at all. The best they looked was against the crap teams. They played a very, very young Miami team, and Miami stuck with them for 4 quarters. One bad call on an incomplete pass that they actually made complete, and that game is a totally different game. I think Florida still would have won, but it would have been like 9-0 or 9-3 or whatever it was. So I'm not very impressed with the Gators yet. They need to find somebody to run the ball other than Tim Tebow, and maybe they'll get some respect from me. Number 11, Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Now, I just got to see them play in person, and Riley Skipper is good. I mean, he is very good. They play Navy this week and should take it to 3-0. Their defense is not as good as the Seminoles made them look. But they're a smart school. They are a very smart school, and they stick to what they're supposed to do. You don't find players out of position with Wake Forest, and that's what I like about Wake Forest is they play smart football. They don't have a lot of stars, but they play smart football, and they're going to get the job done. Right now, they're the pride of the ACC. Without Sam Swank, that kicker, they would be 1-2, because thanks to his field goals, they squeaked by Ole Miss, and they beat FSU. And he was 4-7 against FSU. I mean, Forest State had 7 turnovers, and all they got out of the 7 turnovers were 4 field goals. So that should tell you something right there about FSU's defense. But if their offense can't do anything, then the defense will get bad really quick, because they're going to be tired of being on the field trying to keep them in the game. Number 10, South Florida. South Florida's 4-0. They play the NC State Wolfpack, who just upset East Carolina and brought a little pride back to the ACC. The bad thing about them is they seem to play to the level of their opponent. They could catch up to them, but right now they keep on winning. And the fact that they beat Kansas is something cool. I mean, Jim Grobe has been there since the inception of football, and he's taken that team from nothing to something in 11 years. And that right there is pretty impressive. I mean, it took Bobby Bowden 82, so it took him 6 years to get his first big win. And then I think he started getting respect in 86, so it took Bobby Bowden 10 years. But Florida State was already a team. This team got built from nothing, and now it's something. So that's pretty cool. Starting off the top 10 was the South Florida Bulls. Number 9 is the Texas Longhorns. Now, they play Arkansas this week, and Alabama just killed Arkansas. So I was kind of hoping that game had not been postponed, because then I would be able to compare Texas and Alabama and see where they were. But I'm not going to hold that against them, so I will say they're number 9. They've demolished the 3 opponents they played, and they've looked pretty good doing it. Jim Grobe. Jim Grobe is at Wake. Yes, he is. What was I thinking? Oh, what's the Jim Leavitt. Jim Leavitt is the South Florida coach, so correction, everything I said about Grobe was for Leavitt, South Florida. Grobe actually does a real good job with them at Wake. I mean, he's a very good coach. Sorry about that little, I think it's probably that I was reading and talking at the same time, and I read the wrong name. So let's go to number eight. Number eight is Wisconsin. And I hate putting them that high, but they beat Fresno State in a very, very good game. I think the Big Ten is probably the weakest of all conferences, top to bottom. They play a single brand of football that is not being played anywhere with any great success. And I think whenever they play a team with any kind of speed, they will lose and be embarrassed, just like Ohio State, Michigan, and all the rest. Penn State's the only team in the Big Ten that actually has some speed, and we'll actually see that this week against Illinois. If they can contain Juice and a relief Ben, they should have a chance. So, Wisconsin's number nine. They play Michigan this week, which they probably should kill. They're 3-0, and the only reason they're 3-0 is because they survived Fresno State, because they're the other FSU, and they can't make a field goal either. October is going to make or break them, because they have a hellacious schedule in October. I mean, I think they, out of the 5 weeks they play in October, four of them against ranked teams. So, let's see. Number seven. I have this is going to irk a lot of people that listen that are Southern California Trojans fans, because I have USC at number seven. They play Oregon State this week, and I've already talked about that game because it's a big game. It's not really a trap because they've already lost there, so they're more aware. But they've only played two games. They played two games where everybody else has played three, and most people have played four. They have eight consecutive weeks to play football before the next bye. Now, if they lose one of those games, whoever scheduled this should be fired, because that is just bad. The Pac-10 is a joke. None of the games against the Pac-10 is going to do anything. The only thing that's going to help put USC in the championship game is for Ohio State to win the Big Ten. That is not happening. So I see three teams going undefeated and USC being left out. So, and personally, I don't think they'd make it through the Pac-10 unscathed because they're cocky and they will underestimate everybody, and one of the games are going to catch them, just like Stanford did a couple years ago, UCLA did a couple years before that. It's just, you know, they're not a very good disciplined team. They just play on pure talent. It's not coaching over there. That's talent. He is a great recruiter and puts tons of talent, and I'm not impressed with USC at all, especially against the teams they played, Virginia and Ohio State, two teams that are just not very good. Number six, Penn State. Penn State's 4-0 and has won by an average of 43 points against no one. That's taking care of business. If you don't playing anybody, you better just kill them, and they have. This week they play Illinois Fighting Illini, and that's going to be the test. If they can do to them what they've been doing to everybody else, they will prove that they deserve to be there. Joe Paul actually might make an appearance on the sideline this game, I heard. He was actually in the booth the last couple games, so we will see if this is big enough to bring him down on the field and risk getting run into because he's too slow to react. Which is funny, 2 years in a row, we had two major coaches get just killed on the sideline because they can't pay attention to anything. Joe Paul last year, and then Charlie Weiss this year. And Charlie Weiss is easier to hit because he's a bigger target. And Joe Paul is just old, and you don't get credit for hitting old people. So remember, you've got to hit the young teenagers. You get more points when you hit the teenagers. Let's break into the top five. Top five, LSU. LSU's in my top five because they played one real game and they beat a talented Auburn team on the road. This week they got to go down to Kroom's house and play the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Mississippi State plays great, great defense. So does LSU. LSU has the victory on their shoulders and the confidence that they should ride. Let's see how much confidence is too much confidence. Number four is the Oklahoma Sooners. Now, it took me forever not to put them number one. I am not an Oklahoma hater. I'm very impressed with the Oklahoma Sooners. I think they are playing the best football in all aspects of the game right now. They're 3-0. They've played against nobody, but they've dominated them in every aspect of the game. So this week, they got to they'll test themselves against TCU. If they can do that against TCU, they have a very good chance to be number one on next week's thing. They are very, very good. And I am scared to watch them play. They can run, they can throw, and that damn number 18 is such a punk. I just can't really understand how people can, how coaches can let their players act like that. And always, I mean, I saw him kick somebody the other day, or one of the games. He kicked somebody in the head after he made a touchdown because the guy was tackling him as he entered the touchdown. He kicked him in the head, and the other guy got the 15-yard penalty. Oh, I just hate thugs on football teams. It's one of the things I can't stand. I hate showboats and thugs. Number three, surprised a lot of people. Alabama's number three. They've had one sloppy game out of their four games, and that was against Tulane. They're 4-0. They killed Clemson and killed their other two opponents. And Clemson's not as bad as people think. That was just Tommy Bowden being a Bowden and blowing it. This week they have their test. They got to go into Athens and play the Georgia Bulldogs. If they can beat them, Nick Saban will be God in Alabama. I mean, he's already a very big spiritual figure, but he will be christened, and people will come have their kids worship under him and say, well, where my kids are playing for St. Saban. So, it's only his second season, and last year they were 7-6, which is not that good. They played some good games and lost to some people they probably shouldn't have, but this year they've just been dominating everybody, and it's because of who he can recruit, and he's actually playing those freshmen. Number two, the Missouri Tigers. I have seen them on TV, I think, three times now. And they're 4-0, and they have a bye this week. So they have no chance of losing this week. And they are out to prove one thing this year, that the best offense or the best defense is a strong offense. So far, so good. They have one quality win over Illinois, and that was like 52-42. So they proved right there, we don't need a defense to stop somebody all the time. All we need to do is score all the points we can. So, Chopper on here says, the scary thing about Alabama is it's still a couple years away. Truthfully, I really don't think they are. I mean, they have a very, very experienced leader in their quarterback, and he's surrounded by a bunch of people that may be young, and I think that people are focusing on the infusion of young talent there. They have a bunch of good players there. I mean, Shula wasn't a bad recruiter. He had talent there. I just don't think he was a very good coach in using that talent. Freaking Saban is very good at noticing talent, recruiting it, and putting it to where he feels best. And that's all it really takes in college football. NFL is different. That's why he, Spurrier, who were some other failed NFL coaches that were huge. The white hair wonder down in Southern Cal, Pete Carroll, I mean, he didn't do very good in the NFL either. So let's just leave that alone. Number one, and I as soon as last year ended, I said this would be the number one team, and if they went undefeated, they deserve it. I mean, they have the hardest schedule in the country. They haven't played it yet, but I think this week will make it the hardest schedule in the country. They survived South Carolina, which is always very hard. They play them very well, and it's an SEC team. Then they went out to Arizona State, traveled farther in one trip than they have in the last 10 years total. Total. They only traveled 849 miles over the last 10 years. All to all the road games, 849 miles or something like that. And this year they traveled like 2,000 just to Arizona State. So that is amazing. Let's see what they can do against Alabama. That right there is just going to be an all-out war between SEC teams. And I think a lot of people are expecting a defensive battle, 14-10, 17-13, something like that. I think this one's going to just, boom, it's going to be all-out offensive war where people are just going to say, my studs are better than yours. No Sean Moreno runs like every running back is supposed to run. Once you get tackled, you get off the ground as quick as possible, and you get back to that huddle and say, I'm ready for the ball again, coach. I love the way that athlete, and he's only a sophomore. Please let him stay all 4 years. Please. He's just amazing, and he's such a talent to watch. Let him get all of his education and all of his training in the classroom and on the football field and see what he can do when he gets to the NFL. I mean, I think Georgia is a very good team, and if each week they can build their confidence and keep winning, they are going to be the team to beat. And I look forward to seeing them play either Missouri, Oklahoma, or possibly USC if the other teams lose for the national championship. Good luck to all the teams. That's my top 15. Let me, the teams waiting to join the rankings, Utah, will most likely have to wait until the collision with BYU at the end of the season. That's the season finale for both of them, and one of them will be the BCS buster. The winner of that game will be a BCS team. TCU, beat Oklahoma, and you're in. Play with them, and you get some respect. Boise State, their real test will be at the end of the season against Fresno State. Congratulations on beating Oregon. I called that game. I said they would do it. I should have put that one as my upset of the week because I was right. Auburn, if they can get by a surprising Vandy team this week, and look forward to the end of the season when the big games start coming. Vandy's 4-0, so that's pretty surprising. And Auburn-Vandy this week is going to be another good game. Colorado, they have three brutal weeks ahead of them. FSU, Texas, and Kansas. And I can't believe this team is not even getting votes for rankings right now. Colorado is not a bad team. They've done good. They got to go to Jacksonville this week and play FSU. They manage to beat FSU, I guarantee you they'll be ranked. Then they have Texas and Kansas. If they beat two or all three, they will shut people up and say that there's something good. I think Dan Hawkins is a very good coach, and now that he's starting to build his squad with his players, I still don't agree with the whole Cody Hawkins thing playing quarterback, but maybe he is a good bond and they can do it. Yeah, I'm surprised. Vandy, if they can beat Auburn, they prove that they belong in the polls. Right now, I'm a little shocked. They're 4-0 and ranked 21st. They're still Vandy. I mean, it's not like they have built the reputation of Wake Forest. So I'm surprised that Vanderbilt's ranked and Colorado's not. Colorado doesn't have the defense, but their offense is good enough to be ranked right now. The overrated in the polls, Ohio State. Ohio State should not be ranked. And by the end of the season, they write it down. I said it. They will not be ranked at the end of the season. They will most likely lose four games this year. And that's only going to hurt USC's chances to play the national championship. So Chopper had a statement that a Georgia receiver is a stud, too. Yeah, that would be A.J. Green, and he is good. I was very pissed when he changed his commitment because he was originally supposed to go to Florida State, and he changed it to go to Georgia. Not a bad decision for him because Georgia's on the way up, and Mark Rick is a great coach. Jimbo Fisher still has to prove it. I mean, he had that one good year at LSU, and he had tons of talent, and now he's realizing that he's going to have to do a little bit more with FSU. So there's my top 15. Next week it'll be a little bit different, hopefully, with some upsets or losses and great stuff. Next week I really want to put some stuff on there, old school football versus new school football. I will keep you updated on that. Thank you, Pops. Thank you for Chopper for hopping in there. BJ, great job running the switchboard. Nobody called in tonight, but I told you I probably didn't want to talk to anybody because I had a lot to go over. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to the NWFA, get some details out of them since they're closing up shop for the teams, and then I will probably talk to the IWFL officials and get some more information on the All-Star Weekend when it is available. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the football. Remember, we got high school football on Fridays. We got college football on Thursdays, Saturdays, and Fridays. And then the NFL, of course, on Sunday and Monday. We got football season all week long. Enjoy football, and don't forget to support and get the word out about your local women's football team, too, because guess what? It's football just the same, okay? Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Coach Penn, and this is Third and Long, and I'm out of here.